blah 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 blah
blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah.
Hey, Sean, guess what?
What?
We're almost at episode 10.
Is this... What episode is this?
What comes before 10, do you know?
8?
No.
Oh.
9.
I wasn't very good at math.
You cut the little belly off of the 8.
Oh, okay.
And it becomes a 9.
All right.
So this is Blah Blah Podcast episode 9.
I heard 7, 8, 9.
Well, why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because it carried a gun? I don't know.
Well, I am Jason Green. I know who I am. I am Jason Green. You are Sean the Blacksmith.
Use that already.
I'm using it because you forged this podcast with
creative.
Your hand.
Do something new.
You're Sean Kevin Smith.
You use that one too. Jesus, okay.
I don't know. But this is a very left field episode because my dad is here. Hello, Dad.
I represent the AARP's opinion for today, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah, so who's ever listening and they need AARP advice, email. but the reason my dad is here is because we're going to do some comparing and contrasting to stuff that he saw when he was younger that we never saw, so we can have opinions on both sides of
well,
the table.
Well, I can't say we never saw. We just didn't see him at the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, different opinions, you know, yes. From then and now. But, yeah, so, Dad, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And yourself today?
I'm good. So, why don't you just give us the 30-second rundown of who you are. You do photography.
Yes, I'm a photographer for many years now. Went to film school way back when, School of Visual Arts, back in the 70s. After I graduated, I had a few jobs, but then I needed to actually make a living, and I happened to land in a photography job. And as John Lennon did not actually make up this statement, but it became famous because of him, life happens while you're busy making other plans. So I ended up being a photographer all my life. 10 years ago, I became self-employed, and surprisingly enough, I'm still earning a living at it, and I haven't had to resort to breaking and entering.
Not yet.
Well, we got time.
I just forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
Forget about it.
Well, you you did medical photography, right, and you saw a lot of gross things?
Working in the hospital, I serve two purposes. For the PR marketing department, that kind of speaks for itself. And then the other half, it's a teaching hospital. So I worked for the doctors. This was before the age of PowerPoint. So they would come to me to make their lecture slides. And at the same time, I would have to photograph patients, obviously with the patient's permission. But that was a learning experience, only because I'm the type of guy who quite literally... gets very squeamish at a drop of blood.
Mm.
But I learned very quickly to be able to look at almost anything. So, yes, I was in the OR for many years, seeing many different kinds of things.
What was the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Not gross, but just, like, unusual.
Well, coincidentally, the other day you happened to mention about, have you ever seen a two-headed person? And it wasn't not a two-headed person, but it was an Asian Indian, older man, and he literally had off the back of his head this giant sack coming off. It must have been the size of his head equal to it, and for whatever reason he had lived his whole life with it and it was never removed. And I remember somebody saying that they feared him where he lived. They thought he was possessed of evil spirits.
Well, you know, those Indians.
I just figured he'd be really smart, bigger brain.
Not quite.
Does any of that do those horrors from that time, do they keep you up at night, tossing and turning?
Not in the least.
No, you do.
Yes, that's true. A couple of years ago, I was approached by somebody I knew at my old hospital job. They wanted me to come in to do one last brochure for them, and part of it had to go into the OR to take more pictures. And I remember being in there, and my one buddy in there, one physician, he said, "Rich, I knew it was going to be the last time I was going to be in, probably my last time I would ever be in the operating room to take pictures." And the doctor said to me, "Rich, you look like you're having a good time." I mean, I was smiling as I was watching the surgery going on, only because I knew it was the last time.
Or you're just insane.
No, not quite.
So, Sean, do you have anything to add?
No, as regards to what? I mean, yeah, that's some good stuff.
I don't know. I mean, we're so close to our main topic. I feel like we should still...
no, trust me, the game will take some time.
Okay, you're right.
It will.
So let's start with some questions for you, Dad.
Okay.
What was your favorite movie growing up? Well, like when you were, not growing up when you were a kid, but like, you know, teens and like early adulthood. What was your favorite movie then compared to what's a movie of more recent memory that you really like?
Okay, I would see, I would divide that, not trying to sound too...
Different genres?
No, no, not trying to sound too ridiculous. And not trying to carry on. Growing up, answering that, my favorite movie was, because back then there was no video, it was only television. I'm not trying to sound silly, but
yeah.
You guys not having grown up with that, and everything is instant access, more or less, within reason. Growing up, my favorite movie was, and still is on my top 10, is The Wizard of Oz. Mm. That was an event, because once a year it came on, and you would sit down and watch it once a year, and that really meant a lot, believe me. Okay, then we start getting into the older years. Then the next, obviously in the 60s, I saw the next movie that immediately comes to mind, the two movies in the 60s that... I've had many favorite movies over the years, as we all do, but there have been very few movies where I have forgotten where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the movie was over, I had to come back to reality. I know it, I'm not talking about any drug trips here, but I mean, okay. Just so
yes, complete, please preface that.
Yeah, so completely capture your imagination. You are truly drawn in, which is what any filmmaker wants.
You know what movie did that for me? Speed Racer.
Oh.
I really liked that movie. It was so awesome.
Well, apparently your level of taste is really pretty low.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first movie that did that was in 1964, and it was actually a comedy, was The Odd Couple.
Hmm.
That movie, saw it at Radio City Music Hall with my mother and my older brother. I mean, I remember the details, and I never laughed so hard as I laughed at that movie. I know you don't think of that kind of movie as taking you away, and I was only probably 10 years old at the time, but it did. The next movie that really, on a more serious note, and I still think is one of the best movies of all time, is the original, the first, on AFI's top 100 list, Planet of the Apes. And when that movie ended with that ending, that was...
You can spoil it. It's all right.
Well, it's only been, what, 40 yeah. years?
Well, it's been, you know, they've had other versions of it. But when what I'm getting at, when that movie ended, quite literally, not figuratively, goosebumps. I mean, it was just breathtaking. Then the next movie that changed things, and this... You cannot relate to, I'm not trying to sound too ostentatious, but, and I've said this to you, Jason, the next movie that really was an event that I had never experienced before, and this is the same for everybody at that time, was Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, they made spectacle movies that had stereophonic sound with widescreen, many more for adults, because, you know, with the Westerns, the musicals are,
well,
not my favorite.
Yeah, what about 2001? That was 68.
See, that movie I wouldn't put into it because that is really an intellectual film.
Hmm.
Star Wars is pure
entertaining.
Fun. Yes. Yeah. But there are many entertaining films that I grew up on watching that I laughed at. The Odd Couple being the simple example that I just gave. But with Star Wars, that the combination of what you saw on screen, this is before multiplexes, so it was a single theater with 1,000 people maybe in the theater. I'm probably exaggerating, but somewhere between 500 and 800 with a screen that was probably an IMAX size screen that everything has since been downsized, except for those IMAX movies now. And stereophonic sound that you really did not have much of, because the 60s with the Vietnam War, things changed and everything started being downsized. Anyway, getting back to Star Wars, so when the movie started, so yeah, I went with a couple of buddies, and the place is packed, and, you know, there's a line around the block that you're standing on, and I really had no interest in seeing it at first. I just remember there's lines, so, and I love science fiction, so let me go. And then when the movie started, and I mean this literally, not figuratively, when the music comes on and the screen is rolling, goosebumps.
Again.
Again, yes. And then when the first and the atmosphere in the theater is electric, when it opens with the giant spaceship, that the battle cruiser that goes over your head, you are just breathless. I mean, the audience, it's, you know, there's 1,000 of us there, and it's like we're one body all reacting exactly the same. And then when Darth Vader comes on for the first time, it's an unambiguous moment. Here is the most evil man who has ever lived.
Yeah.
And you are just, oh my God. I mean, literally, I know it sounds somewhat childish, but I've never, up to that point, no one had experienced that.
Yeah.
No one. And then when, of course, they go into a space warp for the first time and the stars go back, you know, I'm with my buddies and we just all go like that. And then when they destroy the one planet, when the laser beams come down or the phaser beams, whatever, and you know they come together into one powerful beam and blow up one of the Tatooine planets or whatever, we were just, you know,
yeah.
Whoa! I mean, but it's not just me and my buddies. It's a collective thing through the audience. Everybody's that way.
I read online that's when Jar Jar dies, was when the Death Star fights, when Death Star blows up Alderaan, you know, that famous scene you're just talking about. Apparently, you know, Jar Jar is never, you know, the most hated character in Star Wars. He is the most hated character in Star Wars.
That
now.
Just sounds like someone just
he
wants
died,
to get rid of
he
him.
He died on that planet when they blew it up.
Okay.
Anyway, so after that movie ended, of course, when it came to an end, then it was like, you wake up, it was out 90 minutes to 2 hours. I don't remember the time now.
It was over two, yeah.
It felt like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just went fast. And when Empire Strikes Back, of course I love that one too, but that since it, I've already experienced it once in terms of that whole effect. The second one, it wasn't that same feeling. And then, obviously, that film ended.
Well,
up
with, well, I'm going to cut you off because I was going to ask you some Star Wars questions.
Sure.
I don't want to.
That's okay.
No, but as I was, my first question was like, you loved those movies when you were younger. What's a movie that of the past like 10 years that you've really liked?
Well, obviously there have been movies and I've kind of have to go over a list to remind myself the ones that I really liked, and immediately the one that I saw a week ago that really isn't one of my top favorites now is The Imitation Game. That was really a superb film.
Oh, that's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, that was really, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 10. And then The King's Speech was another one.
That's
a
good one.
Oh, but the last movie that, going back to my original thing, that took me out of my life, took me out of the moment, pulled me into the movie where I forgot where I was so that when it ended, it hasn't happened in years, but the last, I mean, even with Benedict Cumberbatch and The King's Speech and a few other ones, the last movie that made me forget where I was Remains of the Day. That movie on a scale of 1 to 10 was 100.
Jason doesn't know that. Explain it to him.
I have it on Laserdisc, just in case. I have it on old technology.
What's a Laserdisc?
How many times do you have to flip it?
No, just twice.
Just
because it's just a one. It's a 2-hour movie, so 30 minutes aside, about 45 minutes aside. You know, it can go up to an hour aside. The CAV ones were with freeze frame, CLV. I know no one out there knows what the hell I'm talking about, so just ignore this 2-second thing.
Someone might,
because they
had a little nerd.
They have two kinds of laser disc. CAV, where you could freeze frame and it's no more than 30 minutes per side. CLV, where you cannot freeze frame but you can pause it, but then a blank screen comes up and you could put up to an hour on it, so it would fit on one disc.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that was the last movie. Now, of course, you know, I like some of the superheroes. Captain America, the first one.
That was a fantastic movie.
I love that one. I did like Guardians more. Start naming some movies so I quickly remember which one.
Well, going on Marvel movies, did you like Winter Soldier?
Oh yeah, no,
and the Avengers.
Sure. Yeah. No, I like. Yeah, the Avengers. See, I liked in terms of Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America movies. I actually liked them more than I liked the Avengers, because the Avengers had a few slow spots for me, which even though overall I really enjoyed that movie. Guardians and the other movie didn't really have any slow spots. You know, I mean, I just kind of kept moving with the flow.
Well,
and those are strictly entertainment films as opposed to something like a Cumberbatch movie, which, of course, is you know, much more serious.
If we're going comic book, what about the Nolan Dark Knight series?
My favorite one is the middle one. But, the thing is, I grew up with superheroes. I mean, with all due respect, you guys, I don't really know what you read, but I grew up with comic books. So comic books were my life. And along with, you know, and in terms of the movies, in terms of television, it wasn't really anything. In the 50s was the George Reeves Superman, which I watched religiously. I even bought a few of them on DVD. The opening segment where it comes on, it's like I could recite that like the Pledge of Allegiance because I knew it by heart.
Didn't he kill someone in one episode?
That's We won't get into it. No, no, because he didn't kill, but he put somebody in a position where they could die. There were two producers on that particular show. In the first season, it was actually very serious adult drama. Then they brought in a different guy who kiddie-ized it a little bit.
Kiddified, yeah.
Yeah.
There was talking animals, right? Something like that?
Not in the least. Oh. But anyway, but towards and then the other superhero show was, of course, Batman with Adam West, which I enjoyed a little bit, but...
It's really goofy.
But even back then in the 60s, I wanted something... You know, but that was for the time, and, you know, mm-hmm. comic books... In the 70s, comic books started to change, and I remember somebody... I read someplace, somebody commented that my generation that grew up loving comic books wanted to bring comic books with us, so they became adultified, or whatever the word might be. But anyway, I forgot your question now. You asked me about the Nolan. Really liked the middle one mm-hmm. a lot. That was my favorite, but I liked the first and the third too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, another movie that I really liked. I really like Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, Gravity?
Gravity.
No, yeah, I forgot his name.
Children of Men.
Yeah, Children of Men is in my top favorite. I really like Gravity a lot, but Children of Men on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 10 for me.
So, my main point of this one question is, like, compared to what you liked when you were younger, compared to what you like now, your tastes haven't changed, right? You still like, you know...
Inevitably, your tastes change with age. Your tastes change this way. When you are, just to make a generic statement, when you are your age, you tend to like what is around you that is current. To put that into perspective, when I was somewhere between 15 and 18, my older brother took me to New York. We went to an old theater and we saw Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were okay.
I'm not a huge Casablanca fan myself.
Thing is, as I grew older, those movies, John Huston, he's just one of the greatest. The point being is that when you're around that age, and the same thing like with music, in the 60s, 70s, I liked only what was current. And then as I grew older, that breadth of what you like goes from being this to, you know, an inch wide to 10 feet wide. So
just make sure the mic's close to your mic.
Yeah, sorry. It goes from being an inch wide to 10 feet wide. So in other words, your taste. So when I was your age, I liked what was current more or less, with the exception of Buster Keaton Buster Keaton mostly, and some of Charlie Chaplin, but Buster Keaton. But as I've gotten older, I like what is now, but now I appreciate more watching old stuff, mm-hmm. and really, you know, so it goes all the way around.
So now that, like, you know, Hollywood's main focus is just blockbusters.
Unfortunately, as much as I love Star Wars, unfortunately, that movie and Jaws changed Hollywood in terms of people weren't looking to make a profit anymore. Yeah. I mean, no, let me rephrase that. You have to make a profit. If you don't make a profit, you go out of business. Even when they made Planet of the Apes, they had to make a profit. Yeah. When they made The Odd Couple, they had to make a profit. When they made Casablanca, you have to make a profit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The point is that they went from wanting to make a profit to wanting to make a Bill Gates profit.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, movies today, as much as I like Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of these movies that I can almost fall asleep in because it's paint by numbers. And
that's how I felt with the Amazing Spider-Man movies. It was like an assembly line.
But part of the problem is because when you spend, I have a low budget film, I'm stating what you already know. You have a low budget mm-hmm. film, you have an easier chance of, especially today, of making a profit because of all the different avenues for a movie to go out to the public. But nowadays, when you make a $100 to $200 million movie, understandably, because I would do the same thing, is that you really have to play it safe. So you have a multinational cast. So you put in some Europeans, some Asians, some Americans, some South Americans, and then you have all these varieties. So you hit a home run in every field mm-hmm. that so you make your money. Surprisingly enough, one of America's greatest cultural events or cultural creation, Star Trek, is really, that's the one thing that hasn't really translated overseas. Still makes it to money in America, some overseas. But when I was in one photography job dealing with I'm not making a joke now, dealing with a company that's French, and there were French men there, and when I mentioned Star Trek, they didn't know what I was talking about. And it's like, I know who Maurice Chevalier is. How do you not know what Star Trek is? But anyway, so...
Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, because you mentioned all this, you know, let's talk about Star Wars. What do you think of the new, making the new Star Trek, Star Wars?
Well, actually, I was going to ask that.
Oh, you were going to ask that?
Yeah, it's in my...
Okay, well, I'll do you want to wait, or do you want to...
Well, since we're talking about your favorite movies, I was going to ask next, who was your favorite director when you were younger compared to who do you like now as a director?
Okay.
Now, I mean, I know you liked Woody Allen.
Growing up, to be specific, growing up, I wanted to be a comedian. I wanted to make movies, mm-hmm. comedy movies. With that, that was my focus, was... I really watched everybody. So one of my favorites was Buster Keaton. Then I would watch Jerry Lewis. I loved Jerry Lewis growing up. He's not really a nice guy, but he really... no. He really...
Yeah, he was mean to Dean Martin, right?
Wow, you really don't know what's going on, do you? Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis in the 50s were essentially the Beatles of the 60s.
Oh, I know that, but there was always like... I thought there was like animosity backstage.
Well, eventually they broke up, you know, but of course there's always that. But... when you talk about Jerry Lewis, when you watch it, when you on a film set today and you see that they have all the playback where they watch what they do, mm-hmm. Jerry Lewis is the guy who started that. He was the first one to put monitors on because, of course, directing himself, he wanted to watch himself. So he would do that. And the one book I have by Jerry Lewis, he wrote one, the Total Filmmaker book. Before Steven Spielberg was famous, he said, he spoke about Steven Spielberg. He had seen something. He said, this guy's going to be up and coming. So, Jerry Lewis really is still isn't a nice guy, but he knew what he was doing more or less. And if you watch some of his old movies, he was specifically making film jokes that you wouldn't see necessarily in place. But getting back to what you asked, Jerry Lewis, I would read certain authors. So, but that's what I focused on, and I liked Woody Allen because he was like a current day Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, in that he wrote, directed, and produced and starred in. So that's what I wanted. Now, falling away from that, obviously there were directors I liked, but that's really was my only focus, you know. But nowadays, since, like I said, life happens while you're busy making other plans. In terms of today, sometimes I don't think there's too many directors with... personalities, or I should say established works, the way a John Huston, a John Ford, even Woody Allen. I mean, Spielberg's got his own, like him or hate him, it doesn't matter, but a Spielberg movie when you see him. Yeah, I know you don't like him. It doesn't matter.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, but the thing is that, I Alfonso Cuarón, I really like him, and I like the Coen brothers, but how many other directors really put their stamp on anything? Because when you spend $100 to $200 million, they have a lot of money that they have to answer for.
Shyamalan, movie.
Stop. first guy I would think of was Wes Anderson. I'm not even a Wes Anderson fan, his movies all.
You can tell.
I know you're talking. Let me just remind me real quick. The Grand Budapest Hotel, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one. I thought, and I have one of his movies here. To be honest, I don't remember the name of it now. I'm familiar with Wes Anderson. Yeah, okay, so there are some smaller guys. Yeah, I'm not particular. I did enjoy the Grand Budapest Hotel, but yeah, I wasn't crazy about it. But it tends to be that you find more, at least, I don't remember names all the time with director names, but you tend to find more smaller. The kind of films they made in the 60s are now on television via HBO and via, those sorts of things. They're not in the movies anymore because in the movies they spend that fortune that they have to understandably make back. You spend the Transformers, you got to make that money back.
I feel like there is some of that still out there. You just got to really look for it.
Oh yeah,
and it's very hard.
But I think it's on television. Yeah, Cumberbatch. Yeah. I mean, when I watched The Imitation Game, it's I was so happy to I was happy to see that up there because it's like, I hope they didn't spend a lot on this movie so they make their money back, so they make more of these, And then I want to see the Stephen Hawking one and Penelope. Now, is that the name of the one? The British comedian who made. Remind me who plays M, the woman who plays
Judi Dench.
Dench, and she was in that movie from a year ago.
Oh, Philomena?
Philomena, yes. Yeah. I knew it began with a P. Thank you. Thank Penelope. You.
Close enough.
That was really a wonderful movie. And King's speech was wonderful. I just, like I said, I need a list of things to remind me what I've seen.
Well, getting into, like, you know, reboots and remakes, because, you know, that's what everyone's doing nowadays. Are you excited for the new Star Wars?
I'm about as excited for the new Star Wars as I am for the next snowstorm.
That's not very exciting.
No, look. I said this once to Jason. The first Star Wars movie, which was, you know, in 1977, that was an emotional event experience that I know hasn't happened to you, only because that there's nothing coming out that was for the first time. And then the next two came out. Then, what was it, 20 years later, 25 years later, when they started the next three.
Yeah.
And I was as excited for that as going out on my first date. I mean, it was just... And then when I saw Star Trek 1, The Phantom Menace...
Uh-huh.
Hey, Star Wars.
Or Star Wars.
Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, I thought, I'm bored. What's wrong?
That was
here?
Everyone's reaction.
Yeah, no, but see, the thing is that why do you think they make those documentaries on television that you saw...
People versus George Lucas?
Yeah, people, because they don't do that for... You know, a Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. They don't do that for Irwin Allen. They don't do that for anything else. It's because that's how much of an effect that movie, those three movies, had on my generation. And then why do you think they complain about him going back to the original three and then redoing the digital effects? He 100% has the right to do that because he owns the property. But it's because you're changing, from their point of view, they're changing what their experience was, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so much so that when the second three came out, and the first one was boring, the second one was less boring, and the third one was better, but by that time it's like, okay, I'm done. And you're talking to a guy who was there at the beginning of Star Trek, has been loyal
Star Wars.
Boy, I'm getting these suckers mixed
up. It's all right.
I was there at the beginning of Star Trek in 66, was loyal to it to a fault without getting through it, watched all of the various television shows, and there were some that were good and some like I didn't care for Deep Space Nine, but I was always considered myself a loyal Trekkie, have gone to every movie and considered them, and will always go to every Star Trek movie. But with Star Wars, it was like, nope, you lost me. Mm. I mean, I really have no... I'll wait till it's on video.
But the one difference is that George Lucas has nothing to do with this one. I mean, he had at least... Well, not so much to do with Empire and Return of Jedi, but the prequels, it was all him.
Yeah.
He has everything... Yeah, regardless of the other two, the original three, regardless of Empire and Return of the Jedi, and... he still had everything to do with them, even though he didn't direct them. He had diabetes, and that's the reason why he got
really?
Out of it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was too stressful on him for health reasons, so he had to stand back and basically pull strings from the side. That's one of the reasons why. But to think that
but
it isn't him.
He was full on for the prequels, though.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, I got his health back. You know, he has... and
married
and,
a black lady.
Well, I mean...
That's true.
You wished you'd married somebody like that. you'd be as rich. Well, actually, he's rich, but she's a financial. Melody Hobson.
I think they're exactly okay. Who she is. I think they're okay.
But the point being is that that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, you know, I don't have the. I mean, J.J. Abrams, and I like J.J. Abrams. I like Super 8. And as opposed to all those rap, because it reminded me of when I was making Super 8 movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I could see, okay, this isn't right. This is. It doesn't mean anything. Because you're sitting there, I have a friend whose son is now we made some Super 8 movies growing up, and his son's now in school.
Mike, and
he says him and Mike sit there and they're watching movies, and you know they see this, they see that, and then they make comments on it. I mean, I would say the directors and the actors aren't doing their job if you start noticing what they're doing. I mean, you're forgetting what the story is, and you're just... So that's what I'm getting with when I'm watching Super 8 from J.J. Abrams, is like, I was really enjoying it. But the point being is, even with the Star Trek films that a lot of rabid Star Trek fans don't like, and I say, no, if I didn't have those, I'd have nothing. And I'd rather have that than have nothing. And I do think the best thing about those two Star Trek J.J. Abrams movie is, and I'm not saying this flippantly, is
Chris Pine?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, yeah.
Yeah, he channeled DeForest Kelly beyond belief. Yeah. He really, and it wasn't like the kind of person who does voices for you know a voice impersonator. I mean, it's like it really came through, and it was hilarious. Getting back, so I enjoyed those movies, but this is Star Wars. It's like, George, I don't care who's doing them. I'm tired.
So if the movie comes out, or I mean, not if, when it comes out,
when it comes out,
and it has like a 99 on
Rotten
Tomatoes,
what if everyone loves it?
Would you be compelled to see it then?
Not in the least.
Mm. All right.
You lost me. You lost me. Okay. And it doesn't matter. It's carried on because, you know, you mentioned about him being out of the loop. I find it hard to believe he's not in the loop a little bit. I mean, it's his baby.
He said he hasn't even seen the trailer.
I don't believe that.
Well, not seeing the trailer and not knowing what's going on aren't necessarily the same thing.
I honestly think that the prequels emotionally scarred him, and he just wants to get away from all of it.
You know who they emotionally scarred? Jake Lloyd, the little kid. The little kid who played Anakin Skywalker.
I know who you're talking about.
He's supposed to be a dick, too.
Yeah, I watched the video of him. Like, he just does film editing now. Like, he's staying away from on-screen.
But people leaving the film business isn't exactly new.
No, he's in the film business.
No, no, no. I mean, the before the camera.
Are you saying he's in the new movie?
Yeah, he's Jar Jar. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
No, I heard of that Star Wars. He claimed that Star Wars ruined his life. Because, as you know, he was a kid at the time. Did terrible in Phantom Menace, and then as he went to school,
kids would
make fun of him, and then at one point he snapped and threw all of his Star Wars toys away and like told George Lucas to off.
Being bullied in school is nothing.
No.
Yeah. I was bullied when I was in school. But I understand, you know, he was bullied for something famous, and that's something no one knows about.
Well, when you were bullied, did you throw all your Star Wars toys away?
I had some special toys that I was going to give you. I threw them away.
Well, yeah. So you like the new Star Trek movies? I mean, I thought Into Darkness was all right, but I really liked the 2009 one.
Yeah,
that was a good movie.
Yeah, but Spock wasn't punching people in that one.
Yeah. I am excited for the new Star Wars movies. Like, I didn't like the prequels at all, but this new one, I thought it looked. I think it has a chance.
I think it has
a chance to be really good.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Putting aside all the focus on this one, you do know Disney wants to make a new Star Wars movie once a year.
Yeah.
So they want to water it down to the point that it's just, holy crow. I mean, you know.
We'll figure that when we get there.
Well, they'll figure it, but yeah.
But keeping on the subject of reboots and remakes, well, you already covered Star Trek, but I was trying to throw you for a loop. What about Jurassic Park? Because the new Jurassic Park reboot's coming out. Did you like the first three?
I for the record, I want to say I really hate the word reboot because they don't reboot James Bond. You have a new actor every few years and it moves on. So why do you have to reboot? And if people don't know what certain stories are at this point, then give it up. When it comes to dinosaur movies, getting to your original now, I grew up on dinosaur movies. I mean, I love the Ray Harryhausen movies.
Mm.
Whether or not you know who Ray Harryhausen
is. I heard the name.
He's an influence. You have the name Jason today, as I mentioned it once before, and I don't mean this facetiously.
Jason and the Argonauts?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was one movie. That's another movie I forgot about. Took me out of my moment. I was just... I was in that movie.
And then you said, if I have a son, I'm going to name him Jason.
Well, I never really thought of it when I was 10 years old, but as I grew older, I said, Jason, yes, Jason, because I never forgot that movie. But... And those movies influence the people you like today, your George Lucas and whomever else. Anyway, I really hate the word reboot. But when it comes to dinosaurs, so I grew up on those kinds of movies, except for the Japanese ones. I never liked
Godzilla.
Yeah. Mm. For some strange reason, my brother who lives in Texas loves Godzilla, and I can't figure it out why. But I understand there's many fans. But Chris Pratt, right? That's his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So probably because of that, but I saw the other Jurassic Park movies and I enjoyed them.
Even the third one.
I like the third one.
Okay. It's been a few years, so I don't quite remember.
That's the one where Sam Neill, where he comes back and they send them back to the island. I think William H. Macy's in that too.
Yeah.
I probably saw it.
They have the hybrid dinosaur that's like really fast. It's like a T-Rex, but it's like
got
longer.
Horns.
It's got horns. Yeah.
Okay, then I will say this. There were the three. I know I saw all three. I think three had the bad reviews, but I ended up seeing it anyway by renting it on DVD when it came out, and then I enjoyed it. That's, at this point, to be honest, that's all I remember about it.
Okay.
So I'll probably see it. I may not see it in the theaters. I don't get to theaters as much as quickly as I like to these days. But I still, you know, one way or the other.
But the Jurassic Park 1, when that came out in like 94, I think, did that take you out of the moment too?
No. I really enjoyed it, but yeah. I mean, there's some moments in that movie that were, I know you don't like Spielberg. Doesn't matter.
He has one or two good movies.
No. But what I'm getting at is that he is one director, and I know other directors do this, but I'm just saying what immediately comes to mind, who uses the language of film that you can't put on paper. And one point in that movie that uses the language of film is that when the funny, terrifying, and anxious scene, when Goldblum and the two girls are in that Jeep and they're racing away from the T-Rex, which is behind them, and they look in the exterior rearview mirror, and objects are closer than they appear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do that in anything else. You know, if you were to write that down, you know, people talk about books made into movies. You can't put that in a book have that point. I remember once in one of his movies I didn't care for because it had music in it was Christian Bale was in one of his movies. What's the name of it again? It's World War II. World War II.
War Horse?
Oh, no. Oh, God, what is it?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's based on a true event. Look up Christian Bale. It's forget the name of it now.
What is it called?
You'll get it. But what I'm getting at is that Christian Bale comes home. He's a young boy. He's about 10 years old. And I'm talking about Spielberg again.
I lost it.
Empire of the Sun?
Empire of the Sun.
I was going to say Last Emperor, but yeah. No, wrong one.
No, that was the Martin Scorsese film.
No. That was Kundun.
No, Last Emperor. Look up Last Emperor.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I know my Scorsese. I don't think that's true.
Last Emperor.
Yeah. Look up Scorsese too. No, because he made a film that was
That's from 1987 too, right? Last Emperor.
Wow, you can't ask me years.
Years don't matter. The director is
Bertolucci.
Bertolucci.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's Kundun. I know it's Kundun.
Who's Kundun?
That's the Scorsese
movie.
The
name of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that you were saying the name of a director.
Listen, when you go out later, and if all the errors are out of your time, I didn't do it. Okay, getting back to what I was getting at, though, with Empire of the Sun, there's one scene, and the language of using the language of movies that you can't put on paper is that when the son comes home and finds his parents taken away, and they were taken away through an act of violence, he looks on the floor, and there was all sorts of dust on the floor, and you can see the fight that ensued by looking at the way the dust, the dirt, the whatever it is on the floor is all over. You can't do that. So that's one of the things I like about Spielberg a lot. But that's not in everything, of course. So with Jurassic Park, no, it didn't take me out of the moment, but I really enjoyed it because I love the, dinosaur movies growing up.
Yeah.
Also, I think that's one of those movies that still hold up today as far as
I love
computer
Jurassic
graphics
Park.
Go. Yeah. And that was, 91? So.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the first Terminator? Because they're making a reboot of that, too.
Okay, when it comes to Terminator, when it comes to Terminator, the first movie, the really gritty, the one where...
Schwarzenegger?
No. What's the director's name again?
Cameron.
For some reason, because your buddy's name is Cameron,
yeah.
I thought I had to have it wrong. James Cameron, that first one where it's really a down and dirty film, doing it real simple.
It's low budget too.
That's what I mean by down and dirty, low budget. That movie resonates more for me than the second one. Even though I really enjoyed the second one a lot because that was exciting, but that first one, just because of what it is, just the way it was done, that one is my favorite one. Now, the ones after that I've enjoyed, but it's kind of like using the Planet of the Apes as the comparison. The first one to me, AFI's list, truly one of the best American movies ever made, the original Planet of the Apes. The sequels that came after it from the original Planet of the Apes are all grade B, grade C, grade D movies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't compare. It's the same thing with the Terminator movies. Terminator 3, Terminator 4, The one with Christian Bale.
Yeah, Salvation.
Yeah, I enjoyed him.
I don't like the movie at all.
No, but to me, it's like, sure, I could take it or leave it. Probably forgot the movie after I turned off the television.
I can't remember what happens in the last one.
Yeah, either can I. It was on TV the other
day. Sam Worthington's
so
in it.
So it reminded me a little bit. So it reminded me a little bit. But yeah, no, I understand. I understand. So, depending on what kind of review that movie gets, as opposed to Star Wars, if it gets a bad review, I'll wait till it's on video. If it gets a really good review, I might go to the
theater. Oh, that's what I want to talk about with Superman. I know that Superman is your favorite superhero, and you know you like the Batman Nolan movies, but your favorite Superman movie was Superman 2, right?
Okay, you have to remember when it comes to Superman, that's one character that I have grown up with. I kid around a little bit when I say I was probably born wearing a Superman outfit. I mean, I didn't understand why anybody wanted to be anybody else. And like I said, watching Superman with George Reeves in the 50s was. Because it was, you know, on TV, it was literally on TV every single day. Because it was from 54 to 59, I think the years were, 55 to 57. I forget exactly when, but by the time I hit the age old enough to watch it, George Reeves had probably already died. So it was being repeated constantly. So watched it constantly. So when they finally made the Superman movie with Christopher Reeves, the first one, and that Richard Donner one really had an effect on how superhero and added some things to the Superman legacy. The opening of that film, the first 20 minutes when he's still on the Kent farm, that was like, and as my friend Pete would say, that was like a religious experience. It was very serious. It was really wonderful. Then when it changed to, and I love Gene Hackman, but when it changed to that second part where he's now in New York, Metropolis, aka New York City, and it became silly, I didn't care for that much. But I was just happy to have anything. Now when Superman 2 came out, that really was at that time beyond excellent. I mean, it really was superb. And that was also, it's got I forget who the director of that movie was.
It was Donner, and then they got rid of him.
I was just going to say that. I forget who's actually in the credits, because Donner was the thing. But then I know Richard Lester came in for Superman 3. Mm-hmm. He was called in for that one. But 3 and 4, 3 with Richard Pryor, I was appalled with. And 4 was...
But he's comic relief.
That's what I'd never wanted to see. I mean, I understand having some humor, but no, I wanted to, you know. Mm-hmm. And then with Superman 4... it was better than nothing, but still, in retrospect, looking at it in retrospect, it's like, wow.
That fight when him and Nuclear Man are on the moon, it's just so bad.
See, at that point, you have to understand, you have to remember, those kinds of movies demand, for the time, whatever the budget needed.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, their budget was basically, well, let's turn in a few bottles and get some our deposits and make the money with that. I mean, in other words, there was no movie, no money thrown at that.
I was reading some online the other day. This guy was saying about this guy was a Superman fan and was saying how he thinks that Superman there hasn't been like Man of Steel just came out. And that's a very polarizing movie. Like some people hate it, some people love it.
It's a very interesting movie.
Yeah, and he thinks the reason it's hard for them to make a good Superman movie is because Superman isn't relatable. Meaning, like, Batman, when he wants to defeat a villain that he, like, Bane, for example. If Batman wants to defeat Bane, he knows he can't beat him up. He has to pull the venom out of his back. You know, he has to think. Superman just fights harder, and that's not relatable for some people. Point being, in Man of Steel, when he's fighting that world builder thing, you know, thing shooting the laser into the ground, Superman gets hit with it at first, and all he just shouts louder and fights harder and wins. So what I'm saying is, it's like, it's hard for them to make a good Superman movie. Well, this guy thinks, because he isn't a relatable character to some people. And that also being is because Superman, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, they made him seem like a god. Like, he could turn back time, which is what he did.
He did.
He was that powerful. But then when the animated series came out, you know, that's a great show. Superman animated series, the Tim Daly one. And they kind of scaled back his powers a bit because he could, you know, be hurt by tanks and stuff, as opposed to the Reeve Superman, which he would just, like, you know, take anything.
So you're saying, can they make a good Superman movie that is relatable?
Let me just respond to what you said. I would argue half of what you said. In terms of turning back time and spinning the wheels, he was doing that in the comic books for 10 years before that. So that's not news. That's where I say reading, growing up on comic, you know the comic book characters, regardless of who the comic book character is, really from the movies. I say I know them with their birth in the comics, all those years of reading them and taking a break and not reading them for 10 years and then starting again. And I know them from their source material. And Superman, in terms of changing his powers, that was done in the, was it the 80s or something, where he was reborn and supposed to be less powerful, and then they inevitably reverted back to the Superman that we all knew. And as for not being relatable, that's changed over the years, because Superman has had more success on television.
Yeah, with, this guy was talking about Smallville.
Smallville and the one before that, Lois and Clark, which really wasn't a half bad show. I enjoyed that.
He was
made very relatable in that show. So I would argue that point. One of the problems with Superman in the movies has also been because you needed to have a big budget, but he was successfully done on TV. Through those shows and that's actually just those two. And with the animated series, they scaled back his powers a little bit. But that, like I said, even that wasn't new, because he had done that years before in the comics, but then it reverted back. Now, as for the Man of Steel movie, talking to a guy who, as you stated, loves Superman, that to me was just... I love that movie regardless.
All right.
Regardless of anything. Only because you're looking at a guy who's walking through the Sahara, dying for something to drink, and the drink has to have some Superman in it. Hasn't had one since...
2006?
Oh,
Superman
with
Returns.
All due respect, I forgot about that one. That no,
everyone did.
No. The thing is, and that's Bryan Singer's fault. Now, there's a movie who puts his own stamp on
really?
It. Because if you pull out the Christopher Reeve first movie, Superman, and you watch, and Bryan Singer has self-admitted how much he reveres that movie. And that movie actually affected how other superhero movies have been made, being made more seriously, being taken, not just with a silly approach like part two of the original Superman with Christopher Reeves, when Gene Hackman came in being kind of silly. But if you put Superman 1 with Christopher Reeves side by side with Superman Returns, he basically remade the friggin' movie, except just changing a few storylines here and there. But I look at it as this way. It was his homage to that movie. Okay. But you're looking at a guy who's walking to the Sahara and wants a good Superman movie. And yes, I still enjoyed it. I still had fun watching it. But because of that movie, it took another how many years to have another Superman movie? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, from your point of view...
It took the entire life cycle of the PlayStation 3.
From your point of view, you didn't grow up with Superman, so I don't mean this disrespectfully.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean this from just, you don't care. I want to see a good one. If it doesn't come out, if it does, this, that, and the other. From a guy who just wants a good Superman movie, I got it. And yes, it was super serious. I don't care. And that had some real fight scenes in it. Yes, and Zod, I loved. No, that I saw that guy. He was in another movie.
Michael Shannon. He's a good actor.
No. But I saw him on something on TV.
Boardwalk Empire.
No. It was a Netflix thing that was just.
The one with Patrick Wilson, and there was the ambulance.
Oh, yes, yes.
Stretch.
It was the bike. No, it wasn't Stretch. It was the
bike
movie.
Premium Rush.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm getting my movies confused.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
But what I really, before that movie came out, there was a reviewer who had seen it, and I really just loved what he said, because he referred to the actor.
Michael Shannon,
thank you. And playing as General Zod, and he commented on how he looked. He said, he has a real Kirby-esque appearance, and if you're not a comic book fan, you may not know what
Jack
that means.
Jack Kirby, yeah.
Jack Kirby and his extreme influence on comic books. I thought, yes, and he really does. If you pull out any Jack Kirby book, and I've got dozens, well, they're in the attic, but it's like he really looks like a Jack Kirby character. Mm. So, yes, I enjoyed the movie regardless. You mentioned the other day about the next solo Superman movie is not coming out till 2020, and I kidded about it a little bit, saying, "Oh, I'll be dead by then." But the thing is, I'm happy for it. But the thing is, I know.
I mean, that's on the DC rundown. It could all change, but
everything changes with money. Everything changes. If the next Superman Batman movie that with Ben Affleck and what's his name comes out,
Henry Cavill,
when that comes out, I know it's not going to bomb. But just to get to your point, if that movie bombed tomorrow, it's just like Green Lantern. If it bombs then the whole thing gets wiped clean and they'll start again.
Have we mentioned that that movie's now in two parts?
Yeah, I read
No, but I read on the sci-fi, the blaster thing. They said that's a rumor.
Oh, it's a rumor.
Yeah, so okay. We don't know. Yes, it could be, but that's a rumor. Hmm. I could see them wanting to, you know, stretch it out a little bit. These guys are behind the eight ball with all the success that Marvel's had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing about Marvel, though, is that they have a dedicated division, mm-hmm. and DC really didn't. DC is moving towards that. Well, no, DC is moving towards that because DC, all of their main offices were in New York City. They have since, in the past 6-8 months, they have relocated their entire industry, except for a few, because you got to have somebody in New York, their main offices, everything, all the head honchos, to
Los Angeles.
To Los Angeles. They're out there. Mm-hmm. So they're, I mean, no one saw this coming, and hopefully, you know, the superhero genre won't die out before they get really up and rolling. But you know as well as I do, it all boils down to money. Yeah. They have to. I mean, you spend $100 to $200 million on a movie. I understand you got to make a profit, but you know, you make a good movie, and then you will make your profit. But even then, sometimes you know,
what's,
you make a good movie.
What's on the DC schedule? It's like this Batman versus Superman, and then like Wonder Woman's coming out next.
Possibly. They don't even have a script. I read one thing. They don't even have a script for that yet. I'll be honest, and I'm not being a wise guy, I don't care for Wonder Woman. I never really did. So I wish they would put something else on that list first. But
I don't remember off the top of my head. It's like, I mean, I could just, I have my computer.
Yeah, it's going to go Superman, Batman, and then Wonder Woman.
Well,
I think we have
Justice League coming out. And yeah. It's not the Suicide Squad. What's the other one?
Oh, Suicide Squad. No, I forgot about that, too.
No, but now I'm forgetting. Suicide Squad with Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
That's DC or Marvel?
That's DC.
Okay, what's the one that Marvel has?
Inhumans?
No, not Inhumans. It begins with an S, too. The letter S, I'm talking. Okay, I'm forgetting that. Yeah.
I always thought Inhumans was their version of Suicide Squad.
No, Inhumans is their version of X-Men. Another version of X-Men.
The Inhumans go back to the 1970s because I have one of their comics in my attic. So things get forgotten about and, you know, then get, I mean, it's like everything, get resurrected.
Yeah, Inhumans are like people with alien powers, so they're pretty much mutants. And since Fox owns mutants.
They can't say that.
They can't say that. So that's going to be the Marvel, the Inhumans is going to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe's answer to mutants.
Okay.
Here we go. March
Sinister. 20th. Sinister.
Oh, Sinister Six.
Yeah, thank you.
Spider-Man.
I remembered. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but that's not DC. That's
No. That's where I sometimes get confused. Okay. They both begin with the letter S.
We're not even sure if that's happening anymore.
Well, because Spider-Man and Fox.
Yeah. That keeps going on and off.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
But you, I'm sure you read on IGN or one of the other things that Marvel is wanting to. Is in talks with
broker
Fox.
A deal.
Yeah. And with Sony's failure to get Spider-Man up and running. Sony may just bend because it's like, you know, let them do it and then we'll get part of the profits.
I heard rumors that the guy who directed the Lego movie is just going to direct Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
There's two guys, actually.
Let's see. March 25th, next year is Batman Superman. August 5th, 2016 is Suicide Squad. June 2017 is Wonder Woman.
Justice League.
November 2017 is Justice League Part 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
March 2018 is The Flash.
Oh. Probably not going to be based on the show.
Well, no, because they're, as opposed to Marvel, they're keeping their two universes separate.
I mean, I heard rumors that they want to do that eventually down the line, where they want to do the Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, the multiple Earths, the TV Earths, and then the movie Earths.
Mm. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
But March 2018 is The Flash. July 2018 is Aquaman. April 2019 is Shazam.
Shazam.
And then June 2019... is Justice League Part 2, and then April 2020 is Cyborg. June 2020 is Green Lantern, and then Sandman.
The only reason why they did that,
yeah, I see no Batman,
is because Marvel does it. So they just feel they have to compete. At the end of the day, we'll see what happens.
Everything can change. It doesn't have to be set in stone.
No, not in the least. It's based on money, and let's just look forward. Hopefully. We'll have a good movie.
Yeah,
next
there's
year.
Rumors that a solo Batman film for 2019 called The Batman.
Yeah. See, I'm.
You can keep in mind the door is still open for Man of Steel 2.
Yeah,
and we expect it to be between now. Oh, it's going to
change.
Part of the reason I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just talking out of the thin air, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Batman Superman movie is coming out only because Superman made a profit. But they thought it was going to make $1 zillion more than it did.
Mm-hmm.
With all that they threw at it, it still didn't make the gargantuan profit that they expected. So they said, you know what? Batman's been so successful. Let's throw him in. And then the two of them together should finally make that gazillion dollars that we expect. Which is that part is really the most discouraging part. One thing I don't like about that movie coming up, and look, I'm going to like anything because I just want to see Superman. But I don't like the fact that Batman, and I like, you know, I have nothing against Ben Affleck, but it's rather of him being older, because growing up in the comic books, they're all about the same age, meaning Superman, which, you know, and Batman are technically, you know, two young guys in their 30s doing their thing. But in this movie, Batman is really like in his 40s and he's slowing down.
So are you not a fan of the Frank Miller versions?
No, I like that, but that's separate from the Superman universe. Mm-hmm. And Batman, I mean, like Batman.
Well, no, Dark Knight Returns, Superman's in it. The Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns, Superman is in it. Oh, you just said it's separate from the Superman universe.
But it's still, that's years later. That's years later. This first, okay, let me be a little clearer. In this first pairing of Batman and Superman, what I grew up with as being World Finest, that was the name of the comic book, mm-hmm. where the two of them were in it together. They were always about the same age. So in this movie version of the World's Finest, and they've even used that term several years ago when they were talking about, we got to make a World's Finest movie. So when they're first pairing, they're going with that scenario of him being older, but Superman technically isn't older because he's still new. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still in new to the game. You know, this isn't 20 years down the road where Amy Irving or Lois Lane, as played by
Amy Adams,
you know, where she's now, you know, 90 years old or 50 years old.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I'm not like the biggest Superman person, sure, do Kryptonians age like normally?
Well, you have to remember something. If Krypton was never blown up, of course, on their planet, they grow old.
On our planet.
But in the Superman realm.
No, I think he ages slower.
Does
he?
Yeah,
on Earth.
On the Earth thing. They never really address that part because just like The Simpsons, they all stay the same age in the comic books. And since the movies always only seem to come out once every 20 years, they're always young. Yeah. So with that fact, that really has never been addressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think we should fly over to our favorite game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, get the old man to shut up a little.
The Leonard Maltin game.
Oh, boy.
Let's play some of that.
All right. We've been over the rules before. We're just going to get right into it.
Sounds good.
Jason, you're our defending champion, so you'll get to pick the first category.
Okay.
All right. We have three choices for you. Would you like? We'll start with Frozen. Frozen. That is Harrison Ford movies in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
I get it, because his career was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, because Han Solo.
Or you could take...
he's in Carbonite.
Yeah, yes. You're right. I forgot.
Actually, what's today's date? Is today the 10th?
Yes.
The 10th? Well, yesterday was J.K. Simmons' birthday. So the movies of J.K. Simmons. And your last choice will be Scissors. These are movies where Dwayne Johnson kills someone.
Oh, I get it, because Rock beats Scissors.
Mm. So what would you like?
Scissors, please.
Scissors.
Alex.
All right. Let's go with this one. This movie is from 2003. Leonard Maltin gives it 2.5 stars. He says about this movie.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, hold on. Let's see. It's mindless entertainment.
Yep.
And there's a lot of slow-mo, body-slamming fights and stunts.
I know exactly what movie you're talking about.
And he says there's an amusing cameo in the opening scene.
Yep, I could say this right now.
And, let's hold on.
I know.
And he lists a total of 9 names. Jason, how many names do you think you can get it in?
If I say one, that's how I know it already?
Well, you can say 0, and then you can just... If he challenges you, then mm-hmm. you have to just say the name of the movie. Or you can go negative if you think you know people from the cast, from top to bottom.
I'm just going to go 0.
0 names. All right. So do you know how to do negative names, or should I explain it?
Please don't bother explaining it, because when I've listened to the previous podcast and you explain it, I'm still confused.
Okay.
So don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, those that's
should I just challenge him?
Do you know the movie?
No.
Okay, then you should probably challenge him.
Okay, I challenge you.
All right, you say, name that movie.
Name that movie.
All right, Jason, give me the movie name.
The Rundown.
That's correct.
Woo!
All right.
Did I see The Rundown?
Maybe. I mean, it came out 2003. Maybe.
Wait a minute, with Dwayne and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
And they're in the jungle. Yeah. And they're in the jungle. I saw that again. I really love Christopher Walken in that film too. Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember. I remember Sean William Scott was.
Yeah, he was his sidekick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we saw that movie together.
Yeah.
But it was on TV recently again, and I was watching.
And the amusing cameo was Schwarzenegger's in the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that part I don't remember. Mm-hmm. With him being in it, I mean.
Because that's back when The Rock was first transitioning to movies.
And they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger was passing the torch to him as action star.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really work out. I mean, kind of. He's more of an action star now, like 10, almost 20 years later.
Well, he's, for better or for worse, he's made a real variety of movies from serious to kids movies, and nothing has really made him a big, super big star.
Yeah, well, he's going to be Black Adam.
Yeah, Shazam and those things have never really excited me.
I mean, you say he's not a big star, but he did make the most money of anyone in, I believe, in Hollywood last year.
He made
million dollars.
Are you sure? Okay, remind me.
What he was in?
No. Silver Linings. Jennifer Lawrence. Are you sure she wasn't the one who made the most money?
I think I'm just going by male actors.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I think that's what it was.
Then what movie did he make last year to make the most money?
I don't even remember.
Or does he just have all his money's in the stock market?
Well, it might be a breakdown between half a year and the other half. So I think the last Fast and Furious movie was in there.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about it. Yeah, I know those movies have been very...
The Hercules movie was in there.
But I thought the Hercules movie... I loved Hercules growing up, and I want to see it finally when it's on video, or rather on HBO or Netflix. But I thought that movie bombed.
Well, there's two.
It kind of did, yeah. But he could have gotten paid a lot for it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But if he made, say, $20 million up front, that's not going to really put him over the top. It's the back end, which if he gets paid, then it would have been put him over the top. Okay, let's move on.
All right.
I mean to carry on.
All right, Jason, since you got the point, your dad will get to pick the category this time.
Oh, no.
All right.
pick a movie that has to do with Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
I know what's going on.
Actually, I'll throw a category in that you might like. Let's start with this one. You can pick either... This is Drew Barrymore or less. And these are movies with either Drew Barrymore or Kate Hudson.
I don't get the less part.
Okay, well...
Because Kate Hudson's like a retail version of Drew Barrymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to pick it. You don't have to pick it.
Yeah.
Or you can have We Were Promised Hoverboards.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Okay, Back to the Future.
And these are movies that are set in the future, which are now the past. Meaning, you get...
Okay. Yeah.
Or... Oh, you might like this one, too. Christopher Walking. These are movies. These are Christopher Reeve movies before 1997.
Oh, that's terrible.
actually, the only movie I can think of before 1997.
Well, no pre-guesses.
Okay, no. Anyway, let's go to the middle one. See, the Drew Barrymore one, I only know one movie with her, with all due respect, and with the Adam Sandler ones with E.T., but let's go with the middle one with the hoverboards.
All right. This movie, I'm sorry to do this to you, Jason.
Oh, God.
This movie's from 1968. Leonard gives it 4 stars. He says about this movie, he says, it's very influential. He says, what else? It was followed by a sequel. And, what else is in here? It's a visual feast.
That's very vague.
Yes. And he lists 5 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
Names being people who are in
I understood that. But
you need the clues again?
No. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The visual feast is what threw me off. But
this is a movie that was set in the future but is now the past.
From 1968.
No. What I was going to ask this... what purpose does it serve? Not in terms of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't I just go for wanting the 5 names?
You could.
Yeah, I mean, but what's the tactical advantage to getting 5 instead of saying I can do it in 3?
Well, if you're not really sure, you should go all 5. That way, if you get all the names, it gives you a better chance of guessing what it is because, you get
but
all the names.
If I get all 5, I could be giving him an advantage then.
Not necessarily, because if he doesn't know it, then he'll probably go 4, and then it'll just go back and forth until someone eventually says name that movie.
Okay. Well, let's just go with 5. Just give me the bottom one.
All right. Jason? You just don't.
A movie from 1968 that was set in the future, but you didn't... Can you say when in the future?
No.
Well, I mean, obviously it was in the future from 68.
Oh, I know that, but the
but
year
now
this...
it's it would be considered the past.
I'm gonna just say four names too.
Four names. No, I think this one's pretty simple. I think you should challenge him. I don't think he knows what it is.
Okay, then.
Well, then if I lose, then you get a
point. If he loses, you get a point.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I should say. Okay, I challenge you.
All right, Jason.
Back to the Future 2.
Well, hold on. Let me give you names. It might sway you. I'm pretty sure that's not from 68 either.
I know.
All right, your names are. Do you need the clues again? Or do
no,
you just want
I
the
remember.
Names?
Yeah, that's right. Fine.
Douglas Rain, Daniel Richer, Gary Lockwood, and William Sylvester.
Gary Lockwood, I know that name. Jesus.
I have never heard of these people in my life. I won't look up my computer.
It's 4 out of 5. What do you think it is, Jason?
Cosmos, the movie.
That is incorrect. What if I give you the top billed person? You think you might get it? I always pronounce his name wrong. Kier? How do you say it? Kier DeLua? Is that how you
oh,
say
you're talking
it?
About 2001.
2001, yeah.
2001's the answer.
Yep. Oh. The answer is 2001, Space Odyssey.
I have okay. to admit, I never even thought of that one at all.
Really?
No, but, yeah, well, actually, I was when I will admit, when you said hoverboards, mm-hmm. I was looking for a film that was pure entertainment. And 2001 is not pure entertainment.
But it is from the past,
but that's
which was
the
at the time
the
future.
Lockwood, yeah. I knew yeah. Lockwood, yeah. But
you know what my other choice for that one would have been? Do you remember the movie The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner?
Yeah, yeah.
That movie, it came out in 91, but it was set in 96.
That's Why a, the hell would that movie
just,
be
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's very weird. All right. So, Jason, your dad got the point, so you get to pick the next category.
Okay.
We are all tied up. All right. Would you like, here we go, Bros Before Hoes. These are movies directed by brother teams.
Oh, okay.
Or Tom Cruise. And these are movies where Tom Hanks is on a boat. Or would you like man-made movies? These are movies directed by Michael Mann.
I'm going to do Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. All right. Jason, this movie is from... let me hold. It is from... Oh, what happened to it? Where is it? Oh, here it is. 1998. 3.5 stars from Leonard Maltin. He says about this movie, what does he say? He says, it's relentlessly harrowing. It won Oscars for Best Director, Best Cinematography, and Best Editing. And he lists 18 names.
Damn.
How many names do you think you can get it in? Is Tom Hanks on a boat?
I'm just going to go with 5.
Wow, 5?
I mean, 18.
Well, if you go with 18, you're really going to
be here
from the bottom of the list there.
I mean, if you get all 18, you'll know it. But, like, you're going 5. That's the bottom 5. Are you sure you want to do that?
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay,
like
10.
10, okay.
I was thinking you were choosing
no,
from the top.
No.
Yeah, I forgot that, too.
I mean, you might still get it, but I'm just,
yeah,
you know.
That's the kind of low.
So, 10 names. What do you think?
10's good for me, too.
You oh, no, you have to either go lower or challenge.
Oh.
Did okay. Do the clues do anything for you?
Not really.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So,
you can. I mean, do you think you might know it?
No. Maybe after I hear a name or two. But I'll go. So should I go 9 names?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. 9.
All right, Jason. Back to you.
I challenge you. Name that movie.
Uh oh. All right. Here we go.
Where will you be living tomorrow?
All right. You want the clues again? Or you just want me to go with the names?
Just go, because I know it's Tom Hanks on the boat. I got to remember what.
All right, 9 names. We have Harrison Young, Ryan Hurst, Paul Giamatti, David Wohl, Bryan Cranston.
What?
Cranston.
Yeah.
And a Tom Hanks movie?
Dale Dye, Harv Personal, I believe that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
With Tom Cruise?
Well, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. And your last name, and it's a shame you didn't go with 10 because 10 would have given away. Your last name is Dennis Farina. The great Dennis Farina.
Yeah. So he was in a James Bond movie, wasn't he? He was.
Which one was it?
Yeah, the one with before what's his name? Who's doing it now again?
Craig.
Daniel Craig.
The guy before
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
No, not Pierce, but the guy before him.
Oh, not Roger Moore, right?
No, the guy in between.
Timothy Dalton.
Yes, I believe he was.
He was in that
the first one?
One
with Timothy Dalton. Okay. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. You'll find out later. Okay, Tom Hanks on a boat.
Well, so technically, you get another free name because you know Tom Hanks is in this movie.
A movie where Tom Hanks is on a boat from 1998.
Mm-hmm. Three and a half stars. So Leonard really liked it.
And it stars.
Can I guess?
You
have to. You don't have a choice.
Okay, the only one I can think of, 1998.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe you'll get it. Stab it in the dark.
No, I'm forgetting when his career really started taking off.
Well,
which movie?
94 is because that was Forrest Gump and Saving Private Ryan was in 94, but this is 98.
I don't know why you have to be.
Oh, okay, Apollo 13.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
I don't remember him being on the boat.
No, I think of that as a space voyage, and they refer to those things as ships.
It's a good point. I never thought of that.
Would you like to know what the 10th name was?
Sure.
Matt Damon.
I still don't know.
Still don't know?
Matt Damon.
I can't think of him on a boat.
He's the title character. It's Saving Private Ryan.
That was in 94?
That was 98.
Saving Private Ryan was 98?
Mm-hmm. Oh
my God, now I'm really irritated with myself.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. In the beginning of the movie, he's on the boat.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You're right.
I was thinking of movies. I just wasn't thinking of that one.
Okay. Jason, you have a 2-1 lead.
Woo!
This is to 3, so you're right on track.
So I get to now break 2 bones.
And since you got the point, I guess we'll start back with your dad.
Okay.
Pick another category. Would you like Evil Caviezel? And these are movies where Jim Caviezel plays a bad guy. Not too many of those.
Yeah, I can't. Anyone who plays Christ always does a good job.
Whose Line Is It Anyway? These are movies where someone does cocaine. Or what is another good one? Let's go. Ooh, how about... Let's go with... No, let's not do that one. Let's do... Clooney with a Chance of Meatballs. You want to take a guess what this one is?
George Clooney's Balls?
No. These are movies with either George Clooney, Bill Murray, or both.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just go with that one.
That one? All right. This movie, if I can get on here real quick, is from 2009. Leonard Maltin gives it 3 stars. He says about this movie, he says it's based on a book that was adapted and expanded for the screen. It was brought to life in an old-fashioned... Oh, I can't give the whole one.
Sure.
Old-fashioned style. And there's a buoyant score.
Okay, I know the. I know it already.
Yeah, me
too. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, well, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 names.
I have to go first, right?
Yes, you have to go first. So if you know it, I would say go 0, or if you know people in the cast, I would go even in the negatives. But
when it comes to names in the cast, I know George Clooney, and I am guessing that I know which one you're talking about.
You could be wrong.
Yeah. But so I would just go now. If I go 0, does that mean he has to challenge me, or
he doesn't have? He can go negative if you go 0. Then that means he has to list the top billed person in the movie movie.
That's hard. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you could still go 0.
Okay, I'll go 0.
All right, Jason.
You
said you know it too.
Yeah. So wait, what do I do again?
Well, you can either go like -1. Mm-hmm. That way, you name the movie and the top billed person.
But then, if I say the top, if I get the movie right but the top billed person wrong, then I lose.
Yes.
Why doesn't he just give the name of the movie? Doesn't he get the point then immediately?
No, because it's what you bid. So if he bid -1, then you have to give -1. That means the top billed.
All right, I'll say -1.
All right, -1. Do you think he can do it?
Oh, name the movie?
Well, no. You either have to go -2 or more, or tell him to name the movie.
Oh, I could tell you what I think is the name of the movie.
Well, you can't yet, because it's the ball's in his court.
And you don't think that I shouldn't be confused? Look,
Can you name more than one person from the top of the cast?
I don't remember the rest of the cast.
I would say name that movie.
Okay, name that movie.
All right, Jason. What is it?
Fantastic Mr. Fox, George Clooney.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes!
Oh, okay. I was wrong. This is the movie whom I thought, because I had it right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Oh, Brother... No, Oh, Brother Arthur.
No, because this is a stylized movie. Mm. This is stylized and has a buoyant score. And, okay. That's why... So I would have been wrong anyway.
What, is it based on a book?
This is a Coen Brothers movie.
I know, but is it based... Yeah.
That much I don't know.
Okay.
Clooney and Murray are both in it?
Well, it's one or... One, both, or...
I was just going with Clooney.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I missed
it. In this one, they're both in it.
Oh. Yeah. So, wow.
Jason, you won.
Yeah.
3-1.
3-1.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Don't worry, Jay. You're not living here tomorrow. You're going home with Sean.
Okay.
You got a nice house, he said. You got room in there.
He's got a cute dog.
I'll put you in the scary room in the basement.
Oh, God. Well, that was fun.
Yay. Jason, you're still champion.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. That was a good movie.
That's it doesn't really behoove you to beat an old man.
Yeah, where's your respect for your elders?
Well, before we close out, I'm going to do some plugs. Bzz,
bzz. Ow.
You can follow me on Twitter at JAYGreen89. That's at JGreen.
You're on Twitter now?
I've been on Twitter for years.
You were on Twitter before it was invented.
Yeah, I invented Twitter.
Now, for sure, I'll never go on Twitter.
I barely tweet. Like I said, all I follow is celebrity and porn stars. They're the people who interest me the most.
We'll just skip over that one.
The Blah Blah Podcast is on Facebook, and I keep forgetting to put our episodes on Facebook, but they're all on Podomatic, so I will just put them all.
And
I'll
on
drop...
iTunes. Don't forget iTunes.
You got to show me where this.
That's where I downloaded them from, iTunes. Okay. I just went to the store and I put in the name, and then
that,
it came up.
I did that once too, and I kept getting all things with the name Blah
you're not
Blah
doing
in
it. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
No, because that's how I subscribe to it.
Okay, well, I'm going to drop all the episodes on Facebook like a damn Netflix season at some point.
Don't break them if
but,
you're
So there's that. You can follow me on Twitter at jgreen89. Wait for all the episodes to be on Podomatic, and well, they're all on Podomatic now, but you know, Facebook soon. You can follow them on iTunes, Blah Blah Podcast. Sean, you're on Twitter, but you don't use it.
I'm not on Twitter. I don't know how to use it.
Oh, wait, you're right. You told me that.
I'm the weird person who doesn't know how to use Twitter.
Well, you just have a Facebook, right?
Yeah, I have Facebook. Everyone has Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Dad, you do photography? RichGreenPhotography.com? No. RJGreenPhoto.com. See all your nice pictures. Maybe you'll get some business out of this.
Let's hope not. Not with the people who listen to this podcast. They'll expect my services for free.
Well, Dad, thanks for coming on. I'd love to have you again.
No, I had a good time.
And, bye.
Wow, you are horrible at outros.
I know.
Bye-bye.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.